I'm intending to continue the theme that we were touching on earlier with our younger people, and it's focusing on just one of the Beatitudes, Jesus' request for us to be meek. What do we think when we hear that word, meek? It's not a word that we use very often these days, but I do wonder whether we tend to associate it with being weak. The powerful don't get a mention in the Beatitudes. The people who are strong enough to be peacemakers, who hunger and thirst for justice, and who endure persecution certainly do. The word translated as meek suggests not being overly impressed by a sense of one's own importance. Far from being timid and intimidated, being meek is the proactive quality of being gentle, humble, and courteous. This challenges our worldview of power dressing, put downs, but it really is the way to inherit the earth. It's very easy to confine the Beatitudes to the past, but actually they are as current as they ever were. They were a revolutionary concept at the time, and I think they still are. They continue to challenge modern thinking, and really we should be aiming to aspiring to do them where we can. Looking through the news, we can find scenarios which are not always wholly positive, but in which we can find examples of those who would be honoured by God's blessing. I've been looking at an article which was published earlier this week on the BBC News website. It's about Le Mans. Le Mans is a small town in the Donbass region of Ukraine. 4 months ago, the Russian occupiers, they left the town, and now people seek to live their ordinary lives, despite the lack of safety from Russian missiles, which are nearby. How are they doing that? I'm going to read directly for the moment from this article. And the reporter is an Andrew Harding from the BBC. Two Ukrainian fighter jets roar low overhead as we emerge from a dense snowbound forest and drive into the railway junction town of Liman in the Donbass region of eastern Ukraine. It is nearly 4 months since Russian troops were forced to retreat from here, push back some 25 kilometres, which is about 15 miles to the east. But the boom of artillery fire close to the front lines is still audible every few minutes. And this town, much of it in ruins, is not yet safe from Russian missiles. I live on the 7th floor. The rocket hit the 5th floor early this morning at around 5. But I'm fine, says Alexander Rodjevich, a 73-year-old retired businessman and the only remaining resident of a large apartment block on the edge of town. He bends over to share some dried food to the 8 cats, 7 of them strays, abandoned by neighbours, that he now looks after. That resilience and that strong collective spirit seems to be widespread here among those who have clung on amid the snow and rubble. We hear then about a man, and excuse my pronunciation, called Valery Dmitrienko, a 45-year-old railway technician. In a nearby courtyard beside a giant bomb crater, he's busy chopping wood to help heat the basement that he and 21 neighbours have been sheltering in for the past 9 months. Le Mans still has no running water or central heating, and the daytime temperatures have been hovering around freezing. What can we do? Valerie shrugs. stroking the head of a stray dog he and his wife, Ira, recently adopted and named Princess Diana. When he's not busy with the axe, Valerie helps neighbours repair broken doors and windows in their badly damaged apartment. These people are meek. They are not seeking to destroy or defeat the Russians. They simply want to get on with the business of living. As Russia's forces approached Liman last June, 41,000 civilians fled, leaving about 10,000 people behind. Many of these were elderly or poor or had sick relatives whom they refused to leave. For the next 4 months, about 60 people squeezed into the same cellar on Railway Street. These are people just like us, working people, healthcare workers, teachers, accountants, shopkeepers, whose lives were turned upside down. They had homes, pensions, salaries, and suddenly they were forced to take shelter in apartment block basements, hoping it would be for a short period, but here we are over a year later, and there they still are. And now, throw in a curved ball. They find themselves sharing that same space and the very limited resources with people who are pro-Russian, who've been actively hoping and saying that Ukraine would lose the war. On the 3rd of October, 22, Liman was liberated by Ukrainian forces, and soon afterwards their town mayor, Alexander Shuraflov, returned to discover that 80%, maybe 90% of the buildings had been damaged or destroyed. The railway lines that pass through the centre of their town are still a mass of broken overhead cables and blocked tracks. But in recent months, electricity has been restored to most of the town and the surrounding villages. Pensions are now being paid, and some of the shops have reopened. Throughout the conflict, government and humanitarian groups have brought in wood stoves and distributed logs. Every day, one aid group brings in hundreds of packed lunches to distribute free of charge. There are roughly 700 children living in Liman, and the mayor estimates that another 3,000 residents have returned since that town was liberated. These people have endured and continue to endure unimaginable hardship, trauma, and loss. Yet, are they beaten? They haven't capitulated or surrendered. They have used that quality of meekness and gentleness to endure unspeakable horrors, and are helping others to remain calm, to endure their own suffering. That will filter down to the innocents, the children, and will help to protect their peace of mind right through the trauma. I'm sure that many of these people will be people of faith, and they may well have considered the Beatitudes in their own situation. It's just a couple. Blessed are the gentle and humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are made to suffer for the sake of goodness, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people criticize you and hurt you and say all kinds of untrue, evil things against you because you follow me. In the thick of things, when gunfire makes them run for cover, do they pray over these verses? I'm sure many do. They are as relevant today as they ever were. They are timeless. They are wise. Back here in the UK, we're nearly able to say goodbye to January, which can be a tough month. Christmas is over, but the days are still dark and cold. Our political climate is so obviously horrible, and the fallout into our daily lives is obvious to us all, I think. But the January blues are not what this passage is all about. Yes, it's dark outside. Yes, we're in a time of crisis. Yes, things can feel really hard, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and in January in particular, it can be really doubly hard, I think. All these things can make us feel so angry, sorrowful, maybe even bitter. But Jesus tells us that despite all these things, we are truly blessed. Blessed are the gentle and humble, for they shall inherit the earth. That humility will keep us grounded. Humility will keep us on an even keel, even when every road that we go down is full of potholes. When the chips are down and we're limited as to what we can actually do, then we do our best and then we rest. And we rest in God's unfailing promise that we are truly loved. The last verse of Beatitudes says this: rejoice and be glad, for you will have a great reward in heaven. The prophets who spoke for God long ago were badly treated too. Which helps to keep things in proportion, don't you think? In the name, the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen.